right. You've been hearing the headlines now for the last several days. You heard them in September, and then they went away, and then they came back again about a railroad strike. What's going on? And just what's at stake, more important? What's at stake is a whole lot. What's at stake is here we have supply chain issues. We would have a massive supply chain issue if the railroads went on strike. We would be seeing a halt of fuel, of fertilizer, of food, including grain and corn, consumer goods that are heading to the stores for Christmas season. And by the way, a whole lot of passengers would be looking for a way to get home or get to work or get to wherever, because passenger routes that use rail would be affected. So why is Congress stepping in? All right, 30 seconds of history here. A century ago, this country would be crippled from time to time by a railroad strike. And after a particularly debilitating strike in the mid-20s, Congress passed the Railway Labor Act. And what it does is it sets up a process for labor disputes to be resolved through negotiation, mediation, and arbitration, rather than having workers go on strike or employers locking out employees. It is also, by the way, has been extended to airlines. So, for the most part, this framework, if you will, has kept the peace. Until now. And here's what's going on. The current contract is supposed to cover a five-year period from 2020 until 2025. So it's through the end of 2024. They've been negotiating since before COVID. Things were interrupted and delayed by, like almost everything else, by the pandemic. But they managed to keep negotiating. They hit a couple of sticking points. And come summertime, Joe Biden, with his eye on the election and thinking about what would it mean if an already ailing economy were crippled by a rail strike in the fall, used his power under the Railway Labor Act to appoint a presidential emergency board, basically a bunch of professional arbitrators. They would listen to both sides, and then this presidential board would propose recommendations. Here's how to solve the dispute. So here's how they solved the dispute. On wages, they found middle ground. And average compensation for freight rail workers, which is currently $135,000 a year. I have to say that quietly, or Philip J. starts going online to see if there's any job openings.
It's good money.
Yes, they currently earn $135,000. If this deal is approved, they'll get $160,000. So that's a real wage increase. On health care, the railroads wanted to restructure benefits. They said that the health care plan that workers have now is among the best health care plans in government or the private sector. And by the way, they're right. Under the Affordable Care Act, it's classified as a platinum plan. Okay, in other words, It's about as good as you can get. And the president's emergency board said, keep the existing plan in place. So on wages and health care, the biggie, the two biggies, there is common ground. I mean, the company said, fine, we can live with it. And the unions like it. The sticking point have been the lesser issues. There are 11 paid holidays. 11. It's more than we get. The unions wanted 14. The president's emergency board proposed the same 11 holidays with one additional paid personal day. So then it all gets down to sick leave. The union wanted 15 days of sick leave on top of the existing vacation structure. Sick leave is currently negotiated locally, not as a national issue, and the president's emergency board said leave it there. You know, because you've got some industries have a 24/7 cycle, and some have, you know, the daily work shift structure. They said just allow the existing plan to remain in place. So that wasn't good enough. The railroads and the unions went to the negotiating table. And they came out with a deal where the company, again, made a concession on sick leave benefits. And that's when you saw that White House ceremony back in September where Joe Biden was saying, all right, you know, you can go to the doctor and make sure you have the care that you need. And so the railroads agreed. All 12 of the unions agreed. And so, crisis averted. Until the deal went for ratification. The membership of 8 unions, including the second largest union, voted to ratify the deal. But again, as I told you, there's 12 unions, right? A majority of the workers that voted yes to accept the deal. But some of the unions, again, there's 12 unions, 8 unions said yes. Some of the unions that said no were threatening to basically shut everything down because if one union strikes, everybody honors the picket line. So a few militants were flexing their muscles. And that is why Congress is going to basically go over the heads of the recalcitrant, defiant union activists and adopt the deal. Once again, 24% increase in wages over 5 years. One of the best healthcare plans anywhere. 11 paid holidays. Generous sick leave proposals. That's still not enough for some of the militants. They're almost trying to be like PATCO, the union back in the 80s, the Air Traffic Controllers Union that said, hey, you know, think about it. Our little union can shut down every airport in the country. And they were on the verge of doing so. And that's when Ronald Reagan throttled the union and said, basically, you no longer exist. So you have these a couple of unions that were trying to basically shut down all the rail traffic. Congress is going to approve this deal. A few hardline union firebrands like Bernie Sanders and probably the Squad. It'll be interesting to see where Pramila Jayapal lands on this. Will be angry and will issue angry denunciations and press releases. But the bottom line is it is likely going to pass with a healthy majority, overwhelming majority among Republicans, and likely a majority of Democrats as well. But when you hear about the rail strike, that's what's at stake. It's just a wonderful piece in nationalreview.com that kind of basically gives the point-by-point timeline here.